I'm here with Forrest Gaughan. He's a geology faculty member at BYU-Idaho, a paleontologist,
yes,
and this week's devotional speaker. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet.
Tell me a little bit about your talk. I know you're going to talk about truth and treasures of heaven.
That's right.
How did you get to this topic?
Well, the treasures of heaven have always been an interesting topic. And I really love to think about those things that we can take with us when we go. You know, there's so much in this life that is ephemeral. You know, we can't take it with us. And there are a few things that I often consider to be the treasures of heaven that we can take with us when we leave this life and that will be of benefit to us in the eternities.
Now, you mentioned one of those treasures of heaven for you is a $100 bill that was your father's folded,
yeah,
in his wallet. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so my dad died when I was 19. In fact, he died on the morning of my missionary farewell in an automobile accident. And in his wallet, he always kept $100 for an emergency. And that $100 bill was in his wallet when he died. And my mom gave that to me shortly after he died. And I've had it with me ever since. So I've had it for more than 25 years. And I've never spent it. Because, you know, given the fact that it was folded by his hand, that it was something that he had with him when he left this life, made it worth more to me than the monetary value of
right.
it. And I've always kept it as a treasure of heaven to remind me of those things that are worth more than money, to remind me of those things that, you know, we can take with us when we die. Things like family, the friendships that we build during this life, the character that we develop. The testimonies of the gospel, and not only the testimonies of the gospel, but the knowledge that we gain in all facets of this existence.
And you talk a lot about that knowledge, about truth, finding truth, and
yeah.
and how to arrive at truth, and some of the wrestles you've had as sometimes truth seems to conflict with things that we believe or think we believe.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about that, the wrestles that we can have.
Yeah, so being someone who is a member of the church, but also very much, you know, filled with a scientific background as well, immersed in science, you know, sometimes those conflicts come up, you know, things with respect to the age of the earth and how long it took to create the earth. And ideas related to death before Adam, you know, how do you reconcile the fossil record or the fossils that we find preserved in rocks with the scriptures? You know, things related to organic evolution, the development of the human body, you know, there are a lot of people who just are vehemently against the idea of organic evolution and others even within the gospel that embrace that idea. And so again, sometimes when you look at kind of a literal interpretation of scripture and then you look at the story of science, there appears to be a conflict in truth. But truth, you know, by its very nature is something that can't be in conflict with itself. So, you know, the earth was either created in 6 days or it wasn't, right? It can't have been created, you know, over the last 4.5 billion years, as geologists suggest, and also have been created in only 6 days. And so that represents one of these examples of a conflict in perceived truth where there really is no conflict in absolute truth. And so I do address that a little bit in the devotional as well.
Would you recommend people, when they have these struggles, to put it on a shelf, but what would you recommend people do?
You know, putting it on a shelf, I think, is one approach. I don't think it's the best approach. We have two sources of information that allow us to get to truth. One is revelation, and the other is science. In a 2007 General Conference address, Richard G. Scott mentioned that the scientific method and revelation are the two ways that we might find truth. So I think that we should pursue truth. We shouldn't necessarily just shelve it. But I also believe that there are some perceived conflicts of truth that need not be areas of conflict, that need not generate contention or even personal trials of faith. I think those things happen when we overinterpret the science or we overinterpret the scripture, right? So, you know, a lot of things that I think even LDS people accept as church doctrine are not necessarily doctrines of the church. And a lot of positions that some scientists have are not necessarily supported by empirical evidence, but rather they represent speculation. They likewise represent opinions. But within the church, you know, the church doctrine itself is relatively neutral when it comes to topics like the age of the earth and evolution and so forth. And so even though we might have opinions that differ, the church, again, is relatively neutral on those topics. And so there really doesn't need to be a conflict of truth per se. We really don't need to be internally conflicted as members of the LDS church on those topics because the church is neutral with respect to them.
Now, as you've worked through some of these conflicts or perceived conflicts yourself, how have you changed in your faith and as a person?
So generally, I would argue that the conflicts of truth, the perceived conflicts of truth that I've experienced, have strengthened my faith. As Peter says, the trials of our faith are more precious than gold that perisheth. The trials of our faith represent a treasure of heaven. Those trials allow us, they encourage us to ask questions. And only through asking questions do we really find truth. You know, in the gospel, Joseph Smith received many revelations because he asked questions. In science, likewise, we find truth beginning with questions, right? We start by asking questions.
So as we ask these questions and we arrive at truth, does that change us? Do we become different people?
Yeah, I do think it changes us. So again, as we experience these conflicts in truth, these perceived conflicts in truth, they lead us to asking questions, and those questions can lead to answers. We can end up having very significant, perhaps some of the most significant spiritual experiences in our lives as we ask those questions. And so again, I think that's why Peter suggested that the trials of our faith are more precious than gold, because those trials lead to questions. Those questions ultimately lead to us strengthening our testimonies of the gospel. If we don't let those questions defeat us, if we don't let those trials defeat us, we can instead use those experiences to give us a little bit of extra encouragement to study the scriptures, to fast, to pray with sincerity, to pray in earnest. And through those experiences, we actually strengthen our testimonies. So those trials of faith need not weaken us, but rather they strengthen us as they motivate us to take the scriptures, to take the challenges in the scriptures more seriously. And that directly leads to truth through revelation.
Now, I understand you're a convert to the church.
Yes, I was baptized when I was 8. I was baptized first a Catholic, and then later I was baptized with my mom and dad when I was 8 years old.
And then I understand you're kind of reconverted later.
Yes.
As a teenager.
So I was reconverted as a teenager. I wouldn't say that I was necessarily converted when I was baptized at the age of 8. I mean, I loved the church. I loved the missionaries. I loved the experiences that I had there. But a few years after we were baptized, my family stopped going to church. They stopped going to church when I was relatively young. And in fact, they have never returned to the church. I am the only one in my family that's returned to the church, and that is when I was in high school as a senior. I took a lot of science classes, and you know, when you're in high school, you have a lot of big decisions to make in your life. And I decided that before I made some bad decisions, I was going to, you know, I needed to know if God existed. And so I started on my own to read the scriptures again. And I even started fasting. I started praying again. And I took it very seriously. I really wanted to know if God existed for myself. And I got an answer to my prayers. And in fact, those answers led me to attending church on my own again when I was in high school. And they led me to Ricks College and ultimately to a mission and here again, right, as a faculty member. So those early experiences in high school were foundational to my testimony. And that testimony was built upon questions that were the consequences of perceived conflicts in truth. You know, the world today, I think, tries to pit science against religion, which I think is very unfortunate, you know, because that leads people to believe that they can only seek truth through science or religion, that they're really not complementary, when in fact science and religion, as Richard G. Scott suggested in his General Conference address, are complementary ways to seek truth, both applying the intelligences that we have, being good stewards of the intelligences that we have and the free agency we have to discover truth, and also, you know, directly seeking that truth through the words of prophets and through scripture and also through personal revelation that we may receive if we seek it. You know, ask and ye shall receive. I believe that. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I've seen it happen so many times in my life personally to help resolve some of these conflicts of truth, or I should say these perceived conflicts of truth.
If you were to sum up your devotional talk for students, what is one takeaway you hope they get?
I think the big takeaway is that there are so many things in this life that are so much more important than where we're spending our time. You know, there are very few things that we can actually take with us. The things that we can take with us are families and the social relationships, the friendships that we make in this life. We can take our testimonies with us, our character. We can take the knowledge that we gain in this life with us. And I would say that that knowledge, that truth that we gain in this life is one of the most important pursuits in which we can be engaged. Not only in the scriptures, not only in the words of God, but also in the works of God. You know, a lot of times we just focus on one. Perhaps we think that, you know, we must study the words of God to find truth. But I think that we are likewise commanded to study the works of God to try to understand truth. And so really in this life, and one of the take-home points is that we should be focusing on both the words and the works of God as we are discovering truth. Both the words and the works will help us to become better people now, will help make this life more enjoyable, will be of benefit to us in the world to come, and really most importantly, the most important treasure of heaven that we take with us is our families. And so not only should we be striving to seek truth, but most importantly, we should be striving to live like Christ lived, and that is in service to others. And again, loving everyone, embracing the wonderful diversity that exists in this world, and just making the most of our time here in service to others.
Forrest Gahn, thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.